This week on Redwood Wonk, we're going to discuss Trump trying to take over the Fed. Trump is also trying to take over Intel as a 10% investor. And then lastly, Gavin Newsom has been trolling Trump online, just making a mockery of him. All this and more this week on Redwood Wonk.
Good evening. You're either watching or listening to Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk.
And I'm Matthew Owen.
And we are discussing national news of the day. And we're going to start out with, what's going on with the Fed. The Fed is supposed to be independent. And yet, Ms. Cook, the governor, from which district is she?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. But he has basically fired her, and the courts will decide whether or not he has the power to do that. The Federal Reserve, again, supposed to have some kind of independence created by the legislature. And we'll see what the courts do with it. She is challenging it in court. She is the first African-American woman, I think first African-American, I don't think the first woman, to be on the Fed panel. And there are some thoughts that this is a prelude to Powell. They probably don't want to do it just before, because Powell is probably going to lower the rates, even though inflation is a bit concerning right now. It's not going crazy, but it's not also going down, and it's the core inflation is going up. It's over 3%,
and Eric, you saw food and vegetables last month from June to July went up 36%,
which is what's going to affect the everyday people, and could definitely be affected, maybe not directly necessarily by interest rates, but if it heats up the economy in the wrong way. Who knows what's going to happen, but what are your thoughts?
I think the Fed needs to remain neutral because their goal is to guide the economy regardless of who's in power, whether it's a Democrat or Republican. You can't just come out and say, I want low rates, because that's going to be extremely inflationary. If we have inflation like food prices going up, tariffs hitting, and car prices going up, they just announced that the tariffs go through on the Japanese cars. The average car price is going to go up $5,000. So we're still waiting for the tariffs to kind of go through the system. It's not good news to be out there saying prices are going up, but we want to lower interest rates. That's not how the Fed works.
No.
In order to create more inflation.
No, but they are now concerned about the jobs in, because we are experiencing stagflation. And the last time we experienced stagflation, Volcker, back in, late 70s, early 80s, he tried to jack it up, the interest rates up over 10%, and that was a disaster. But, maybe not. But on the other hand, can you ignore inflation and lower them because you're worried about the job losses? I don't know.
If you dial an 800 number to any corporation, good luck getting through to a human being. They've got it set up so it's all AI now, and they do not want you to have to get to a human being without they have to pay wages to. So it's real interesting. I think AI's taken an effect on low-level jobs at corporations.
Yeah. No. And not to mention that people are worried about the chaos, the uncertainty of what's going to happen, because they don't know what's going to happen. I mean, yes, Trump has been holding off on the worst aspects of these tariffs. I mean, we've had 15%. That has been in effect. But, is he going to? Isn't he going to? He thinks he's clever by keeping all the other countries on edge, but he's also keeping business on edge. They don't know whether they're going to invest. And quite frankly, there's a lot of problems with these indiscriminate raids and deportations. Part of the reason groceries are going up that nobody wants to talk about even is that they are having a hard time finding workers to do this. I mean, you've got people on the internet, farmers in Nebraska saying, well, how come black people aren't coming to work on our farms?
I think they did that 160 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I mean, going to move out into the countryside where, you know, they've been hostile anyways to work for $11 an hour. Maybe it makes sense when you're sending money back home to, you know, where the currency is of much lower value. That might make economic sense. It doesn't make economic sense in when you can get a better job at a fast food place.
Right. Agreed.
You know, I mean, it's just and yeah, no, crops are actually apparently have been starting to go to spoil. And so, you know, so the Fed is in between a rock and a hard place, not just because of Trump's pressure, but because they've got two problems. And usually they solve inflation by increasing the rates, and they solve the recession by decreasing the rates. And they can only do one. They can't do both.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So the issue is going to be is, you know, I think part of it, too, is Trump's trying to help out the real estate industry, which has been in a downturn since 2022 when the mortgage rate shot up, especially the commercial real estate industry.
I'm sorry about that. I just had a toddler walk in. I'm going to have to deal with it. That's his word for gramps. I will introduce everybody to Tatum, who wants to comment. He's calling me, and I apologize for the interruption. I'm going to have to go fix that. But anyway, thank you, Tatum. I'll be right back. Thank you, Tatum. I appreciate it, but I can't complain.
Well, Gordon, if you're going to be editing, I'll jump in and talk here for a second.
I don't bother to edit. Like kids.
No, I mean, when you're done. I've been saying this all along that Las Vegas is a harbinger of what's going on in the economy nationwide. I just got back from my latest trip to Las Vegas, and contrary to what you read in the headlines, Las Vegas is not dead. It's down 15%. What got me, I mean, literally shocked me, going to a lot of my favorite restaurants I go to. You walk in, you look around and go, where is everybody? Where they're normally full at lunch, there's a handful of tables. We go to the Palm inside Caesar's Palace. Normally, it's a very popular steakhouse, and there's a handful of tables that are full. Everything else is empty. We had this a couple times. We literally walked into a restaurant, looked at each other and goes, where is everybody? How are they keeping the doors open with this small of a crowd? And if that happens in Las Vegas and starts spreading to other cities across the country, that's when you're going to see a uh-oh. That's not a good sign.
Yeah. You know, there is there's another little bit of a harbinger here, too, going back to the farmers. Caitlin Gray, a Democrat, defeated Republican MAGA Christopher Prush in a Senate district in Iowa yesterday, a district in which Trump had won by double digits, and she won with 55% of the vote. Republicans are crying foul. They brought in volunteers from other places, and you know, and so I mean, that sounds great.
Playbook, Eric. If the Republicans win, it was a free and fair election. If the Republicans lose, it was rigged.
But I mean, this is a midterm. I'm not even a midterm. This is an off-season election. One in which traditionally Democrats didn't do well in, and this is a beat red district, and in the Iowa Republicans lost their supermajority. They still hold the majority, but they're not going to be able to do things quite as easily as they had been. And anyway, this is a big flip for the Democrats, I think, because of what's happening to the farms. Well, partly due to the tariffs and partly due to the deportations.
Yep, I agree. And the other problem is they're losing markets overseas with the tariffs. China has just stopped buying our soybeans and just said, here's the middle finger. We're going to go find another country, buy. And that was a major source of revenue for our U.S. farmers. And that market just went, we're done.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And I think that you know, we're going to be seeing a bit more of this. We're going to have more special elections. And again, it's a long ways to 2026. We could talk a little bit more about, there's some update news in the gerrymandering, but we'll talk about that when we're talking about Newsom's trolling. But is there anything else to say about the Fed?
I think Jerome Powell is just going to give Trump the middle finger and saying, you can't fire any of us. That's that. And let's see how it plays out. And of course, Trump will run to the court. And if he loses there, he'll come up with another excuse. And real quickly, by the way, have you noticed Trump lately? His hand, it's got some funky thing on it, some sort of growth. It's just, they're trying to cover it with makeup. It just, he's getting old and he's getting diseases. And his ankles look like cankles. His ankles are about the size of an average person's thighs. It's just, what the hell is going on here? So MAGA base is not going to like it when their dear leader looks like an old, obese man.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
That brings us to the next topic, this government takeover of Intel. It's not really a takeover. They bought 10% of the stock. Right. So it's not, they don't have a majority or even really a controlling share. But Trump has bought 10% of the stock, is championing it as a good business solution to bring revenues to the government. I don't know that this is that radical of a thing. Other countries do it. There are publicly owned,
usually utilities.
Yeah, well, that's true. There are publicly
water,
owned that, but in
power.
Europe, there are actually corporations in which the nations have a majority share. But they're worked in. They have a whole system that's worked into it. They've got labor unions. You know, maximum labor union can't have too much of a share, otherwise it would impact the business. Same thing with the government. It's worked into a system of regulations that are set up for it. And so that's what some people are complaining about. You know, but some people are saying this is like China style right. Ownership or something.
Can you imagine 10 years ago when Obama was in office, had he proposed something like this?
Yeah.
The GOP and Fox News would have lost their mind. Socialism coming to the private capital markets.
Well, it's what I used to joke when I was arguing with, you know, the Spartacus League, the more radical socialists. They used to tell me, because I used to say, what's the difference if you're supporting, why are you supporting the Soviet Union? You say it's a deformed worker state, but so why is it a step up from, you say it's bad, but you say it's a step up from capitalism. And they say, and they would say, well, because at least the means of production is in the hands of the state. And I said, so, well, we can handle that. Then why don't we just make all of the CEOs of all the companies be the government? Then it'll be a deformed worker state, one state up, right? Socialism. And they said, well, no, we couldn't do that. That would just be really bad capitalism. And I'm like, so that's what you're saying the Soviet Union is, really bad capitalism. And they're like, no, because the companies don't own it. It's like, well, yeah, they do. I mean, you know, it's a tautology there. So there is, you know, some concern about that. But, you know, will the country make a little bit of money off of the shares? I don't know.
That's not the goal of government.
Right.
Because
what is the impact? What did Trump say is the reason for it? What was his?
I can't tell you why. I have no idea why they're doing this. It makes no sense whatsoever. The U.S. government is not a private equity investor, period.
Yeah, well, but
do you remember when Obama bailed out that solar firm, Solyndra? It gave him a $535 million bailout. Fox News lost their mind that we
had
socialism.
You're right. They did when there was
problems. Obama's bailing them out. The U.S. government needs to stay out of private businesses.
And I think with one of the car companies, too, right?
That was during the 2008 financial crisis. He gave two of the three car companies billions of dollars in money. Keep in mind, we privatize the profits, we socialize the losses. So as long as the company's still good, the shareholders and CEOs turn out great. The company goes bad, well, the CEO's got an excuse, and then they go to the government and say, hey, we need some money. Please give us some money.
We privatize the profits and socialize the risk. You're quoting Michael Harrington, founder of Democratic Socialists of America.
That's exactly what we're doing today. We've done this all the time.
Yeah. So. I mean, I kind of get it. But what I'm concerned about is, you know, kind of like this plane that he was given. Will he, like, then buy the shares at some kind of deal later when he's not president anymore? I mean, you know, the self-dealing is just outrageous that goes on. So I wonder if there's, like, some
kind of game there. If President Biden or President Obama came out with a meme coin to sell to people.
Oh.
And if you bought it, then you had dinner signed up with Biden or Obama at the White House. The right would have lost their minds, just gone crazy.
I mean, you know, half a century ago, I think we've talked about this, you know, when President Carter refused to sell his peanut factory, the Republican Party was, you know, apoplectic for like 6 months, screaming about how he should sell it because there might be some policy or some bill that he signs that might have some kind of positive effect on
of interest
on his peanut factory, right? You know, I mean, and we are so far beyond that now, you know, where we've got dignitaries and leaders from other countries having to buy, you know, or rent rooms in his hotels and so that they can, you know, talk to him. I mean, it's ridiculous.
So what happens if Trump wakes up one morning and says, I think we should sell our 10% share in Intel and buy a 10% share in Nadeva? Or Google, or Facebook, or Apple. Because then you're going to see the price of that stock crater, and the other price of the other stock increase. Then the U.S. government's going to be moving markets, and that's not what it's there for.
That's true. I mean, unless they don't have faith in the government to manage it, then it'll be the opposite. But still,
you know, knowing President Trump, he'll say, I'm sorry, Intel, your dividend's too low. I own a share now. I want you to increase that dividend because more money needs to go in my pocket. So,
I know that a lot of people are really upset about this. And we will say it. I don't know. I mean, I think there could be, you know, on the other hand, I think there's sort of a logic too. If the government finds other ways to make money, that's less taxes they have to do. I mean, we do. Social Security does invest, right? I mean, isn't there, you know?
What happens if the government invests 10% in Intel stock and the stock craters? Let's say it goes down 50%. Exactly. Then the government's not a stock trader. This isn't BlackRock.
That's true. I think Social Security invests in diversified funds like any other retirement program. But it's just when they're not, you know, borrowing from it to pay for other stuff.
Like most people, I don't get what's going on. So,
I
think that's part of Trump's thing. He's just going to keep flooding the market daily with the latest dumb idea. So we don't talk about the Epstein files. Anything. There's a new thing every day. Flood the market. Flood the market. Don't mention the Epstein files.
So you're not satisfied with the release of Maxwell's testimony? I mean,
no.
And I don't think anybody is. That didn't seem to pay off, did it?
They didn't release the information they said they were going to. The Republicans are now endorsing pedophiles. But at least they're not endorsing Democrats. That's the important thing.
It is interesting, and it's just not going to go away for him. I mean, he just has it. Like I said, his touch and being able to get out of stuff. He's got it. It's not most MAGA. Most MAGA is like saying, "Oh, I'm disappointed" or whatever. But he has lost some people.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And if they figure out they voted for a pedophile, they're not going to be happy.
Well. Or even just somebody who would look the other way when it happened. I mean, that's, you know,
almost as bad.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, so I mean, that's kind of what it looks like Clinton might have done. You know, because there's none of the victims are saying anything about Trump or Clinton. Quite frankly, none of the current victims, the outspoken ones. I mean, you know, I almost think that that. Asking for the files is almost a distraction. What they ought to do is what the push ought to be for is just let the victims who want to speak come to Congress and speak. Let them have their piece. Let them name who they want to name, and let them do that with their attorneys. But there's no talks of that. Nobody wants to do that. And I think the big reason that both parties are kind of covering this up is I think there are a lot of donors, a lot of people who donate a lot of
major
money.
Donors.
Right.
People who are billionaires do not want it to come out that they may have gone to an island to have sex with an underage girl.
I mean, I think releasing a lot of this information would be like kind of instantaneous, if not temporary, campaign finance reform. So it would be a lot of people not donating much anymore, at least for a while. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
All right. Well, that brings us to Newsom trolling. I mean, you got to hand it to him. Now, he's not the only one who's playing things pretty well right now. He's not the only one who's really getting Trump angry. Governor Moore in Maryland, he's talking about gerrymandering, right? They've already gerrymandered in Maryland to get it down to one Republican district. He's threatening to make it Zippo Republican districts. And not only that, he's, you know, when Trump was talking about sending the military to Baltimore, he's trying to say, hey, it's better than it's been, in years. In fact, crime in the country, a lot of people don't realize this, crime in the country, violent crime, has been on a pretty steady decline since the 1990s. A lot of people don't understand it. People kind of think it's true, but it may not feel true, but it has been on the decline. There was a brief uplift in 2023 coming out of the pandemic, but then in 2024, it dropped again in Washington, D.C. and in Baltimore. And what Governor Moore did was offered, hey, come, let's take a walk through Baltimore. I'll show you. It's really not that bad. We got problems, but it's not what it used to be when they made the movie The Wire, right? You know, it's not the movie, the series, and Trump got angry, said, maybe I'm going to cut off that funding for the bridge that, by the way, was appropriated by Congress. He doesn't have the right to do that, at least, you know, in theory.
Eric, I'm going to stop right there. You seem to be confused again. You said the word Congress. We don't have a Congress.
Right.
We have one branch of government, the executive branch. It's whatever Trump thinks of that day, and he'll change his mind a few days or hours later. And then go on a new subject. But yeah.
But Congress did already approve it. So it would be the courts that would have to fail. And so far, the district courts are not buckling under them. Not even Trump supporters, by the way. Not even Trump appointees, by the way.
Getting back to the Gavin thing of trolling Trump, the worst thing that happened was Fox News picked it up and won't let it go. Yeah. They're angry over it. And this one woman, I forget her name, I don't follow Fox News, says, Gavin, you look childish. You look just so immature. Why are you doing this? And all he's doing is exactly what Trump does. So if Gavin looks childish trying to mimic Trump, why don't they say, Trump, you look like an idiot. Stop doing your stupid late night tweets in all caps. Donald J. Trump.
No, and they keep showing it, and it's and Fox News is doing what the media has done for Trump, giving him free airtime. I don't know what Newsom has done, to do this. He has, by the way, in the polls, pulled up to, I think it's like 19%, in terms of support, still behind Harris. But still well ahead
Which
of
Harris?
Everybody else. What?
Which Harris?
Kamala.
No.
Because that's all they know. They don't know anybody else yet. Nobody
She's not running
out.
Again, is she?
No. That's just polls throwing names out there. And so she's the one that everybody knows who's in the list. Right. Nobody knows Pritzker yet. Nobody knows.
As long as you don't tell me Hillary, then I'll really lose my mind.
No, she's not in the list. You know, a name recognition gets you that way in the early polls. But Newsom was the only one who increased from before. He went from 14% to 19% in that. And we're talking about, when there's like 20 people on the list. Right. And so most of them are at 5%. And the rest. Harris is up to like, was it like 36%. Now she's down to 29%. And she's going to continue to slide because as people learn more, they're going to be impressed. I mean, and he's gone up with Black voters, and especially he's gone up with young men because they think it's funny. They like this stuff, you know.
I wanted to say something a young wise man once told me. Thanks to Donald Trump, I'm actually starting to like Gavin Newsom now.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of people just didn't like him, but if you do the comparison of Trump and Gavin,
if he wants to win, he's going to have to put out some kind of positive vision, not just attack Trump. But he's got time to do that.
So, can you tell me what Trump's vision was for 2024? Outside of the 10 trans athletes in the country, the price of eggs was too high, and Democrats are wacky. What was his vision?
And immigrants are raping your women and eating your dogs. But
can you tell me a Trump vision for the country?
Yeah, I know. I got it. You're bringing us back, making us great like we were at some undefined age.
He's out there bragging about coal, which the rest of the world is laughing at us going, coal, that was so 100 years ago. We're looking forward to the future. So,
I know. Even China is moving away from coal. I mean, of all countries.
Gavin's getting all this free publicity. People are noticing he's tall, he's lean, and he's 30 years younger than Trump. Maybe we got something going here.
But he does need to come up with something, all of this is funny, and yes, but these issues are serious, and here's what I want for America. That's what he's got to do. He got stymied. He didn't get the high speed rail partly because of all the regulations and all of the opportunities for lawsuits. I mean,
they started building a high speed rail from Southern California to Las Vegas. If it gets done in 10, 20 years, I'll be amazed. Mm-hmm. And you watch the price of it's going to be higher than airfare and no one's going to take it.
No, at first. But eventually we got to catch up with the rest of the world. I mean, it's all over Asia, it's all over Europe.
Have you seen that Last Chance Grade? We just had a Caltrans person come talk to our Rotary Club. She said we started the idea of the bypass. They're actually doing a tunnel now up in near Klamath area where they have the big slide. And She said we started the idea in 2021, and we hope to have this tunnel complete and cars driving through it in 2038. The audience almost started laughing at her going, if you think Caltrans is going to complete a project in 17 years, by the way, we built the Golden Gate Bridge in 4.5 years. The rules and regulations of California just stymie everything. Then throw in the environmental lawsuits.
I will tell you, though, that that the tunnel that bypasses Devil Slide in San Mateo County went quickly because the environmentalists pushed that as an alternative to a 4-lane freeway bypass that was going to come over the hill from the east and possibly turn the coastside into Daly City. So if you do something like that to get environmentalists behind you, they don't file lawsuits, but you still have the regulation red tape and everything that you got to. That has to be worked at. He's got to have a vision. He's only got a couple of years left in his thing, and maybe he can come up with some reforms for that where he can talk about protecting the environment while doing that. And he can make the argument that you can actually be more effective protecting the environment if you've got regulations that make sense, and he can do that, but he's got to do that. But right now he can have fun. I mean, it's early. And the rest, he is the anti-Trump. I mean, he's got the stuff. And I think where he really came alive and his campaign started was when Holman made the grave error of threatening to arrest him, and then all of a sudden, just spontaneously, Newsom says, "Come on, tough guy, try it." And then Holman backs off and says, "Well, I didn't really say that, That was that, it's not really a politics that impresses me that much, but it does impress a lot of young men. For me, right now it's what works. I don't care.
And like you said earlier, can you name another potential Democrat that's going to resonate with the Midwest and the South.
Pritchard, Gretchen Whitmer.
Pete Buttigieg? I love Pete Buttigieg. I don't know how a gay guy is going to go over in the Midwest.
I don't know, but he goes over pretty well on Fox News. But
he's great. I think Pete Buttigieg is great.
Yeah.
I'd love to have the President of the United States and the first man in the Oval Office. That would be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if anybody could do it, he can do it. So, you know, we got a lot going on. I mean, in Texas, I'm forgetting the name of the Democratic challenger. He challenged Cruz last time. Begins with an E. Ellison.
Beto?
No, it's a black guy. Somewhat culturally conservative. He is running against, he's in the state Senate there, and he's running against whichever of the Republicans wins between Paxton and Cornyn. Paxton is the MAGA primary challenge to Cornyn, who
Lieutenant Governor of Texas.
Yeah. And he's a crazy person. And Democrats are hoping the crazy person wins. The danger of that is the crazy person can win at all.
What if the crazy person does win?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the Democrats have actually financed crazy people before, and looks what happens. You know, they end up winning in the general. Senate run. Anything else about Newsom though? I mean, he is clearly running.
I love the fact he'll go anywhere and talk to anyone. He goes on Fox News and gives them facts about California. You may hate California, let me tell you, we're the number one economy of every state. We have more entrepreneurs than any other state. Of course, my fear is they're going to say, don't Californiaize our state. We don't want your homeless. We don't want your drug addicts. We don't want your woke. We don't want your trans people in our sports.
Sure.
It's a cultural issue.
Right. But, you know, if anybody can avoid that, it's, you know, golden white boy Newsom. I mean, you know, that's, he doesn't seem to get tagged with that. Certainly this campaign doesn't fit with that. I mean, dark woke, that's an ironic joke, right? I encourage people out there to go. It's put out by an outfit called Frightened Ketchup or Scared Ketchup.
Yeah, just get on YouTube and say dark woke.
Dark
and you'll be laughing your ass
off. It's hilarious. I mean,
the question is, how will Newsom perform against Trump in 2028?
Well, first of all, if Trump is running, there might not even be an election. That's the first thing we have to consider. But if he gets to run for a third term, I mean, first of all, I think Trump is kind of losing his luster at this point.
And his mind. He cannot hold a sentence together. If you actually listen to what he says, I scratch my head and go, what the hell is this guy saying?
And there are people actually that are speculating about his health now. It's starting
And I think people are starting to realize these tariffs are causing chaos around the globe, not just in the U.S., but countries around the globe. Financial markets like stability. Yeah. And when he changes his mind every day, every week, I'm going to tariff you this, no, I'm going to tariff you that. Oh, I'm not going to tariff you, and I'm going to put the tariffs back on. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, you asked about other people. Governor Pritzker gave a very good speech last week about the fact that Trump is thinking of sending troops to Chicago. And there's, you know, and he said again, we don't need it,
you don't have any authority to do it,
right?
You have to go through state governors.
And there's a lot of concern about just normalizing the presence of military in cities. I mean, that's the kind of thing you do when you want to have a coup, right?
It's called a dictator. Yeah. You want to scare the people to not protest.
Yeah.
You bring the military in, and then you shoot the civilians and say, do you really want to protest? Because we'll shoot you again.
Yeah, I know.
I'm hoping the 19-year-olds don't do a Kent State.
They're really angry, too. I mean, the administration is really angry right now with the judge who's in charge with the sandwich guy because they're not holding him.
I saw that.
Yeah, not in bail. They're letting him out on OR, and they're like saying, but we're charging him with a serious felony. And the judge is basically
saying, we can't get a jury to convict him of assault. He threw a Subway sandwich at a guy.
Yeah, right. I think the judge is basically trying to tell the prosecution maybe a misdemeanor simple battery you can get. Right. I mean, but nobody is going to want you. You know, juries are going to be angry if you waste their time on a fool. Right. You pull them out.
I've actually seen the clip where the guy was standing 6 feet away and throws a sandwich and hits the guy. And the guy freaks out and goes after and tackles him. But it was a sandwich.
It was a sandwich. I know.
He didn't throw a can of something at him or a frozen water bottle. He threw a sandwich.
It was a bit of a temper tantrum. Guy shouldn't have done it. But you know, the bail that they're demanding and the serious, you know, felony charges, like the officer's life was in danger or something like that. I mean, give me a break.
The other thing, too, I think it's backfiring against him is exactly what you said. The average American person does not want to see the U.S. military on our streets. This isn't Watson 1965.
No.
We have a whole different scenario. What's going on here? And I think this is going to work against Trump and their administration. It'll go real good with some of the crazy MAGAs because they think the whole world's falling apart. But that's not what's happening.
But having them walk the streets, harassing a black guy sitting on the stairs smoking a cigarette because they thought the cigarette might smell like marijuana. What's that?
It was his house. It was his own stoop.
Yes. I mean, you know, and walking by the university, and it just, it's not a good look. It's just not something that you want to do. And now Trump has also suggested that there should be the death penalty for any murder done in the Capitol.
I saw that.
I mean, that alone is a special circumstance requiring, I mean, you know, it's just, and by the way, we could check on it, but I checked on the weekend. There were several dozen violent crimes since they've taken over in the city. A little bit lower than normal, but not that much. There's still plenty of violent crime going on in the city.
Why aren't we talking about the red cities that have a much higher murder rate than we do here in California?
Well, that's right.
Why doesn't Trump send troops to those cities?
Yeah, I mean, it's right. Again, crime is declining everywhere. And here's an interesting thing. And I do want to discuss this on another show when I've read up on about it. But they've looked into all the correlations as to why crime has been declining since the 1990s. And there's all kinds of things. I mean, Giuliani wanted to say, well, I came in and I started all these police forces and stuff like that. But the decline started 4 years before he was in power in New York. And it started everywhere else, too. So there were increased sentences that happened in the 1980s, possibly. Okay, there's good correlation there. Other people have said that's when we discovered that there was so much lead in the water and that it caused a lot of mental health problems. And that was cleaned up. And that's possibly a factor. So crack cocaine was on the decline. So as young gang people were dying before they were 25, a lot of young people started saying, I'm not really into that and I'm not joining gangs, right? I mean, increased policing, improvements on 9/11, 911, and even if you go a little bit later, cell phones, because stuff gets reported faster, right?
Right.
You
know? And stuff gets recorded.
Yeah.
We didn't have cell phones when I was going to college, thank God.
That's right. But there is another factor that's been looked at that's very interesting, because that 1990 is also when illegal immigration took off. And there is some real strong arguments, and maybe we'll find out as a science experiment, but when there's big concentrations of immigrant communities in the cities where there was a lot of gang activity and violent crime, the crime rates have declined because you've got working families in there displacing them. And apparently there's a direct correlation. So I'm not saying that's a good argument for illegal immigration, but it's definitely a good argument for immigration, right? And hopefully that becomes part of the discussion because it's like like about a dozen studies now have done since like 2008 into tonight. It's like there's almost no contradictory studies that in the areas where immigrants have congregated into communities, the rate has declined because crime rates of immigrants, both illegal and legal, tend to be less because they have more to lose. And also because they don't usually travel for that. The gangsters, actually, the members of the gangs, actually are more likely to have green cards because their gangs provide it to them, right? So it's a very interesting dynamic. But something we're going to have to look at, and with all of these indiscriminate deportations of people who are here unlawfully but actually just work, we'll see. If crime rates go up in the areas where they were living, we'll know there was something to it.
So I heard a comedian say a great joke. Why is Trump so obsessed about fornicating over the immigrant community? Probably because his illegal immigrant wife won't fornicate him.
Interesting.
That's up to you, Gordon.
There is that. We were talking a little bit about the gerrymandering. Of course, California is now official on the ballot. Republican emergency challenge to it failed. There is going to be some opposition. League of Women Voters is kind of wavering. Go ahead.
Eric, I got to jump in there real quick. Why is Fox News obsessed with California doing gerrymandering?
Right.
In middle of the census, middle of the 10 years, but they don't say a word about Texas.
They don't say a word about it. And they talk about how
California bad, Texas good.
And Texas is, it's following the rules, but California isn't. They passed a ballot proposition. I know.
We said every 10 years after the census comes out.
Right.
That's the rule.
Right. But what the key difference is between California and Texas? We're putting it to the voters.
Right.
That's the thing. Yes. The
Republican-controlled state people do it themselves. That makes good sense.
The Supreme Court can clean this up anytime they want. They can come up and say, this needs to be done during the census. They can stop it, right? Anytime.
Someone should have filed a lawsuit to go to the Supreme Court saying this is what the Constitution says.
But they haven't in the past. They haven't done it, and they need to do it. But Roberts, by not enforcing the Voting Rights Act, has just let gerrymandering go crazy by saying as long as it's okay to have gerrymandering, even if it's a little bit prejudicial against according to race,
one party or the other,
as long as it's. If it's done motivated by party politics and not to put a class of racial class down, then it's fine. And that was a big mistake because, de facto in Alabama, that meant dividing up, disenfranchising the black vote, which was too much for even them. I do need to point out that in Utah, there was a victory for democracy. There was an initiative that was passed by the voters of Utah that turned it over to a independent commission, similar to California, but with some differences. And the Republican legislature basically repealed that law, saying we're using our prerogative as legislature to do that. And they went ahead and gerrymandered, basically splitting. There's four districts there, and they basically split up Salt Lake City into four different districts extending out into the rural areas. And the first thing the League of Women Voters and other advocacy groups did was file suit. The lower court said, you can't do this. It's a legislative means. We don't have any jurisdiction. Got to the state Supreme Court. State Supreme Court said, no, we do have the jurisdiction. Sent it back down to the district court. District court has now ruled that it does violate, that the current map does violate that state, resolution. The voter resolution, and so who knows when it's going to happen, but they're going to have to draw up a new map. Will it happen in time for the 2026 election? We don't know, but it does look like they're going to have to maintain Salt Lake City, at least most of it, as a community of interest, which means most likely a Democratic district.
Good to see.
Yeah. I was just checking the headlines. Newsom is actually saying, I don't think Donald Trump wants another election. He's basically accusing Trump of possibly wanting to basically a coup, I guess. So we'll see.
He wants to stay in office indefinitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if he can find a way, and I have no doubt that if he can, he would. Doubt if he can find a way to finesse that. Some other interesting points in the news. The CDC director says that she's not going to resign. We'll also take court. National Guard at DC are now picking up trash. I guess they're on a PC campaign, a PR campaign.
Right.
So
just what our military doing, picking up trash in our cities.
So we did talk a little bit earlier about food prices, and this is probably the thing that did end Biden. It was food prices. You know, no matter how good the economy was on paper, no matter how many jobs were coming out, it was the price, food prices.
The price of food and the price of gas.
Yeah.
And everyday Americans.
Right. And how they're doing. And price of food. And right now, price of beef has gone through the roof. I will say it's not at all Trump's fault. There's factors out there, drought and a few other things.
You're confused again. When the price of eggs went up, Fox News blamed Biden himself. It was all Biden's fault.
Yeah. Right, not the bird flu or anything.
So it's the president's fault if the price of a product goes up.
There you go. That's and that's the point, is that they aren't going to want to hear excuses.
You'll never hear that on Fox News, ever.
Yeah. Yep.
That the price of beef is now higher than the $7.25 per pound. Minimum wage is $7.25 in like 21 red states. The price of beef for 1 pound of beef is higher than $7.25 right now. Ridiculous.
I mean it's even ground beef it's like that,
right? And that's what I'm referring to, just basic ground beef.
$9
sometimes Safeway has it at $10 a pound. I'm like going, but then they'll put it on sale for $2.50 a pound.
I mean,
perfect greed.
Right,
you tell me. If you're making a profit at $2.50, why are you selling it at $10?
There's definitely corporate greed involved in any time that prices go up during a crisis like that. They do take advantage of crises. I'm sorry. That's just, it's what they do. I'm not saying that it's even, that they're evil. That's what they do. They get the price they can, and they'll take advantage of any situation, just like they would take advantage of, finding a cheaper, element of their that they need to ingredient or whatever, however they can expand the buck to make the dividends for their shareholders. That's what they'll do. But sometimes it becomes a little bit questionable. And right now, as we've talked about in past weeks, some of the businesses have basically absorbed the tariff prices up until now. Home Depot was saying, no, we're not going to keep doing that. Right.
Walmart said we lost $1 billion in profit because of the increased prices we ate.
Yeah.
The wholesale price.
Right. And their reasons for not doing that is, they are known as the low price. That's their trademark, right? Is selling things at lower prices.
They're going up.
Yeah. But that's hard it is. I mean, but, beef prices going through the roof, and now vegetable prices are going through the roof. I used, when these problems were with different types of meat, I used to tell people, do without for a while, be healthy. But I can't tell them that right now because vegetables are through the roof. And I the media comes up with a bunch of different reasons, but a lot of them don't want to cross Trump, I think, by saying, that it might have something to do with a lack of workers.
And the other problem is, like, Goldman Sachs economists came out and said bad things about Trump's tariffs. So Trump went and tweeted, fire this guy. He's like, I think it's going to start to backfire on him. He's not running every aspect of our country. Why don't you run the government, not the country?
Well, remember, when he first came to office, he thought he could fire Nancy Pelosi.
I think he still believes that. He's not sure why it's not happening. I am the president. You have to do whatever I say.
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be a problem for him because that is every day. That is where it gets hurt. It's one thing for unemployment rate to be high, but it's somebody else who's unemployed, right? That's, but when you're unemployed, that's the definition difference between a depression and a recession. Recession is when other people are unemployed. Depression is when you're unemployed. Anyway, I mean, this is going to be a problem. I think this is why this election that happened yesterday is a big deal.
I hope it's the harbinger of things to come.
It may very well be. We'll see. We'll see. So anyway, that's all we have for this week. We will come back in a minute for predictions.
At this point, it's time for predictions. Eric, what's your predictions?
Well, I'm going to do a long-term one here, and I'm actually feeling kind of optimistic here. There's two parts here. One thing is Texas may have blown it. In creating these five new Republican districts that are safe districts, they may have weakened as many as 10 other districts and made them competitive. And they forget that a lot of Trump supporters don't show up during midterm elections. This has turned out to be true in 2022 and 2018. Not to mention the fact that of people who voted for Trump in 2024, 28% of them are saying they disapprove of Trump's handling of the Epstein controversy. This means that they may either vote for someone else or just not turn out and support. I think even with the gerrymandering, and even if the Republicans follow through with their threats to gerrymander even more in Florida and Missouri and Indiana and wherever else, I think they're going to have a very hard time holding on to the House. I'm predicting that the Democrats are going to take the House.
My prediction is 2028, Gavin Newsom versus Donald Trump. Trump's going to do anything and everything in his power to stay in office, because once he gets out of office, he's going to get sued again left and right, especially if the Democrats are in control, which is why he's trying to rig the 2026 election, because he doesn't want the Democrats to take over Congress, because they're going to impeach him for all his crimes, and he doesn't want to go through that again. So that's my prediction. 28, Newsom versus Trump.
So you think the courts are going to basically say he can run for that third term because they weren't contiguous?
If the Supreme Court bends over for whatever he wants, we'll see if they actually follow the Constitution.
Well, we'll find out if that's true. Until next time, stay informed and stay engaged.